You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is CBS Sports Radio. I am JR. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Thank you so much to everybody listening all over North America. Thank you to super producer and host Dave Shepard. He's here with us as well. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. We're going to be hanging out here with you for 3 more hours. The show does get started at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, every single weeknight. That means Monday through Friday. Don't come here tomorrow looking for me because I will not be here. I'll be back Monday, though. Thank you oh so much to New York Giants legendary linebacker Jesse Armstead for joining us a few minutes ago. If you missed that interview, you can always hit rewind on the free Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Thank you to everybody listening all over North America on our many CBS Sports Radio affiliates. It's been a busy day in the world of sports. We have seen suspensions in the case of Fernando Tatis Jr. Basically, PED use. In his explanation, I'm going to tell you about that in a few minutes. Jesse Armstead just had an interesting take on Lamar Jackson and why he probably doesn't get the respect that he deserves. So I want to replay that and share that for you momentarily. We opened up the show talking about the Browns. Deshaun Watson made his return to the football field tonight. Jacksonville Jaguars hosting the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun only went out there and had 5 pass attempts, connected with one. And he probably got more boos and chants of you're a sick blank than anything else. And so that will continue on, obviously, for as long as he's on a football field. And we still don't know what his full suspension will look like. Also tonight, not good news if you're a fan of the New York Jets. And why would you be a fan of the New York Jets? Anyway, Zach Wilson went down. This man at the end of the first quarter went out running, diving for a play, trying to pick up some yards. Nobody touched him. He went down. Knee injury. He's going to have an MRI to see the severity of it. They don't know if it's an ACL. They don't know if it's a sprain. The man was able to get off the field and walk off, but he had a bad, bad limp. And so Zach Wilson, the New York Jets, actually trying to be a decent football team. And who knows, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo ends up on the Jets, or maybe Jimmy Garoppolo ends up on the Browns. We have no idea. And since I mentioned to you Fernando Tatis Jr., let me fill you in here. It kind of flashed across everybody's screen this afternoon, this evening, I should say, that Fernando Tatis Jr., who was basically on his way back from a broken wrist that he basically broke because he was on a motorcycle, and we don't know how many times, he doesn't know exactly when he broke it, he's missed the entire season. This is the same Fernando Tatis Jr. who has a history of swinging and having his damn shoulders pop out of his sockets. This is the same Fernando Tatis Jr. who has one of the most just ridiculous contracts in the world of sports right now. $340 million, a 14-year deal that he got from the Padres. And so his shoulders always flying out of its socket. Sockets. The man broke his wrist, he got paid, and now he's just riding motorbikes whenever he feels like. And then today he got popped for PED usage. And so here's the deal. They just traded for Juan Soto. You have Manny Machado on the team. They have one of the best pitching staffs. Tatis Jr. was just about healthy, ready to come back. And then boom, he gets hit with the suspension. 80 games. He's not going to play for the rest of this year. he will not play in the postseason. His 80 games is going to wrap into to next season as well. And I don't even know this drug that he tested positive for. Clostebol, I guess is what it's called. And Fernando Tatis Jr. came out in a statement and said that he's not appealing. It was a mistake that led to his positive test. Listen to this. It turns out that I inadvertently took a medication to treat ringworm that contained Clostebol. I should have used the resources available to me in order to ensure that no banned substances were in what I took. I failed to do so. Damn. That's a new one. He took a drug. He had ringworm. I'm sure that's not something that he wanted to share with the world. But now, damn, he's just out. And there's just certain things that you can't make up. The first thing that came down the pipe when it was announced that he was suspended for PED usage, I said, Fernando Tatis Jr., what is he? Is he using something to come back from his wrist? You know, nobody's going to look at Fernando Tatis Jr. and go, this guy is using. He's built like a rail. At the same time, you don't know what anybody's using. It was a shock. It was a surprise. 23 years old. And he's blaming it on his ringworm medication? Some of these things you just can't make up. Shep, what were your initial thoughts when you heard about the suspension and then you heard about the reason why?
L-A-M-E, lame, yet he's 23. There's always room to grow.
Ringworm medication?
I didn't say I agree with his excuse, but at the same time, he probably got bad advice from someone a lot older. He just needs to take accountability, take his medicine, take the suspension, which is going to be a very long time, and just come back with some kind of integrity.
I got to tell you, you know, I'm a little surprised, a little bit, in just his behavior this year and through the offseason. I get it. You got $340 million coming your way. This man's dad was a legit major leaguer. His dad was no slouch. He has a chance to be better than his dad. And you would think through all of the experience that the family has, that he would be a little more well-behaved. Why are you riding bikes in the off-season? Why are you not being a little bit more careful with what you put in your body? And so I don't know how many more mistakes at 23 years old everybody has to just deal with when it comes down to Tatis Jr. You know, he apologized, Tatis did, to the organization and the fans and to the owners and the general manager, A.J. Preller. And A.J. Preller, the man who tried to put together this super team to try to win a World Series, he spoke. He gave his initial reaction to the news. Listen.
He failed the drug screen, and, you know, for whatever reason, ultimately, you know, he's suspended. He can't play, and that's the biggest thing. And it's the player's responsibility, and, you know, to make sure that he's with compliance of that. He wasn't, and you know, ultimately supportive of that. Just want to make sure he understands that.
Look, A.J. Preller didn't make all of these trades for Tatis to go down. Yeah, nice. It's nice to bring in Josh Bell, and it's amazing to have Juan Soto, and his pitching staff is still ridiculous with Musgrove and Manaea and Yu Darvish and Clevinger. Oh, yeah, it's nice to be able to just throw those guys out there. But Tatis Jr. is another game changer, and they won't see him. Not until next year. 23 years old. I hope the rest of his career and his $340 million that he comes his way, I hope he doesn't have any more issues or problems. I hope he's not asked, hey, when did you break your wrist? I don't know. Well, what do you mean you don't know? How many times are you riding a bike? I don't know. Well, what do you mean you got suspended? You didn't know what was in the medication you were taking? Yeah, I don't know. They're paying this man a lot of money, $340 million, for him to know absolutely nothing. Come on, man. Start acting like an adult. Get your life together. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Anthony is here from Cleveland, home of the Browns. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Good evening.
Good evening to you, Anthony. Oh, my God. Anthony, you okay?
Good evening. No, we're hyped up here in Cleveland. I'll tell you why. My buddies and I were watching the Browns tonight. We usually don't tune in, but there's a reason for that. And we're tuning in because of the Browns radio network. We're a little bit tired of all the little snipes you take at Cleveland. Best fans in sports. You always got to take your little snipes at Cleveland. And your cute little snipes with LeBron and the Browns. We've been paying attention. We have real talk radio here in Cleveland. All you do is care about your big market teams and New York City. You're so transparent, man. Stay out of our city. Stay out of our city. Your whole stick is whining and ripping on the day's hottest flavor. Horrid radio. Stay out of our city.
Well, that's nice. Well, Shep, did he know who he was talking to?
I don't think so. That was a little strange because he came on to agree with you in the initial thing. So he had to lie to try to get his point across, which just shows you how gutless
Anthony really is
from Cleveland.
That's not the point. I've said something
didn't say
terrible.
Anything offensive or outrageous tonight or in general about the Cleveland sports fan base.
Yeah, I've never said anything about the Browns. Well, the Browns, yes. The Browns are a trash organization. I've never said anything about the fans. More often than not, I've said positive things about LeBron. And nothing having to do with LeBron I've ever tied into Cleveland.
In fairness, you gave them some flowers for what they did a year and a half ago with Baker. You haven't just crystallized this as all negative with Cleveland football.
Well, no, Anthony needs a hug. Nobody loves Anthony. I don't know when it started. It could have been when he was 5 years old. Could have been when he was 10. He talks about the radio in Cleveland and don't come to Cleveland. Let's ask Joakim Noah. Well, what am I coming to Cleveland for?
I don't know if we want to do that.
I'm saying it's not for me to watch the Browns. I can tell you that much. The Cleveland Cavaliers are certainly a team on the rise. Maybe I'll come see the Cleveland Cavaliers. Maybe I'll go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What if I go to Cleveland? What's going to happen? Anthony's going to wait for me at the airport? Man, I wish that guy, somebody needs to love him. That's terrible. Edward's calling from Miami. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing tonight, man?
Excellent, Ed.
That guy, he's a LeBron fan. He's a loser, man. Guys, LeBron is the king of excuses. So I would be upset if I sit up and say I'm from Cleveland. You had a guy like LeBron said on TV, put my name in the slam dunk contest. He never did it. But
what?
The purpose I was calling was I wanted to make a comment about how sometimes they bring certain stuff out about certain people and then they sweep it up under the rug. Now you know they killing Deshaun Watson, but you see people like Jerry Jones. He did crazy stuff. Bill Kraft, Robert Kraft did crazy stuff. The owner of the Colts did crazy stuff, and they had this guy Craig Carlton. He did crazy stuff, and nobody says nothing about him. So Craig Carlton, he worked at WFAN.
Oh,
he
yes, he's a. Yes,
and he got a job.
Oh,
and nobody
my God.
Says nothing.
Edward.
Edward. I'm just saying, this guy was.
Edward. Slow down. Damn.
I'm cool.
Are you drinking coffee? What are you doing?
Nah, man, I'm not drinking coffee. I'm just talking about how they want to just kill Deshaun, man. And
Edward. Slow down. Let's talk about this, okay? You ready? Well, thank you for shutting up. Listen, the man's name is Craig Carlton.
Yeah.
He also happens to air on the same radio station that I do, WFAN, in New York City.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing. No, you don't know. You called him the wrong name.
And, no, Craig. I say Craig Carlton.
That's not his name.
Okay.
Okay, that's not his name. But anyway, my point to you is and that's secondary. He doesn't have a damn thing to do with the NFL.
He's done stuff, man.
Oh, stop, Edward. Come
no,
on.
Edward,
be quiet. Stop. Be quiet. How can you name owners? Let me back up here. And please do me a favor. Don't say anything because I want to keep you on the line.
Go ahead.
If you're going to tell me and call me up and say, hey, JR, the NFL is sweeping things under the rug. And then you want to say, Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts. Let's follow this. Don't say anything. Listen, stop. You want to look at Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots. If you want to bring up Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys. And then the last person that you want to punctuate your point with is a sports talk and television host in New York City who doesn't own a team. Just help me out here. What in the hell does he have to do with the owners in the NFL? How do things get swept under the rug?
They're not killing him. They didn't kill Jerry Jones with the stuff he did.
Oh, my God. Edward. Oh, my God. Hey, Shep. I'm in the Twilight Zone right now, right?
Between Anthony and Edward, you're in some kind of zone.
We should put these two guys in a room.
Oh my God. The end of civilization right there. You talk about worlds colliding.
Anthony would go on about who the hell did we just talk to? Anthony was the first guy from Cleveland, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
He would go on and by the way, he's telling me about New York. I don't even really talk about New York sports here because
wait.
I'm not even in New York right now.
That's the bizarre part about both of these calls is not only were they just asinine in their points and point of view, let's be real, but they had the wrong premise of what they were calling about.
Oh, my God. Hey, the NFL sweeps everybody's issues underneath the rug. Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft and Jim Irsay and Craig Carlton from New York City.
Yeah, but JR, to that point though, like you've always said on the show, billionaires don't want to be told what to do, and the elephant in the room when it comes to the NFL owners and the punishment that is dispersed their way, is that it is coming from a person who reports to them, that being Roger Goodell. The owners in the NFL have it better than the players do. We have to accept that.
Yes.
The Deshaun Watson situation should have been handled 2 months ago.
No, absolutely.
And I say situation, I don't mean to make light of it, but you get what I'm saying.
No, it's true. Look, you said it. This isn't something that people have to accept, but it's just how it is. There's a couple of things here. Anyone who wants to look at, oh, my God, the owners aren't getting punished. It's amazing to me when that comes up, no one mentions, and sure, it's a drop in the bucket. No one looks at Dan Snyder. This man got fined $10 million. In reality, he should probably have the franchise taken away from him. If you look at an issue like Robert Kraft at the massage parlor, he was talked about ad nauseum. To the same degree of Deshaun Watson, no. This is the other reality that people have to accept. Ain't nobody thinking about the owners. Shep just said it. Roger Goodell works for them. Roger Goodell gets paid about $2 million from each owner. This man is making bank every year. Robert Kraft ain't in the front lines every day. Robert Kraft isn't having press conferences. Nobody's showing up to see Robert Kraft throw a spiral. They're not watching him put the ball in the end zone. There's not enough interest. Nobody's going to protest because of him. People show up for the players. I had people tell me all last week, especially with Kevin Durant's situation, I want to be traded, this and that, da-da-da-da. People were calling and saying, well, they should trade management. Or excuse me, they should fire management. Fire Sean Marks. Go ahead and fire Steve Nash. People told me up and down, I don't turn on the games. I don't go to the games to see management. I go to the games to see stars. Ain't nobody thinking about management unless you want them fired. ain't nobody thinking about the owners. They don't get fired. And so is there a double standard that exists? Yes, we know there is. Unless you got a couple $1 billion, namely, I don't know, about five at this point, and you can buy yourself a team. Yeah, the double standard is there. And the damn thing anybody could do about it, unfortunately, unless you're going to speak with your wallet. Are there enough people that are going to do that? Are thousands and hundreds of thousands, are millions of fans with individual teams going to do that? The answer is no. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk Lamar Jackson. Unlike Fernando Tatis Jr., he's a young superstar. He's trying to get paid. It's just a matter of when. And we still have a lot of people that aren't too high on Lamar. We'll talk about that on the other side, and I also will share with you the comments by Jesse Armstead. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
First time caller and listener. I'm loving the show. Your show is just absolutely outstanding.
I got to tell you, I've been listening to you, and I've been feeling and agreeing with your flow.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get to Lamar Jackson momentarily and what's going on with his contract, et cetera. You know, as we talked about Fernando Tatis Jr. and his 80-game suspension that will take him into next year because of PED use that he says actually came from a chemical in his ringworm medication. There's some other good news. There's a guy in California who also is hurt. He's having some back issues. That man's name is Mike Trout. This man hasn't played since July 12th. His rib cage is bothering him. They're talking about his back injury is going to require maintenance for the remainder of his career. He's 31 years old, keep in mind. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame. And he says that, hey, guys, I'll be back. It's just like, okay, great. Who cares? Angels aren't going anywhere. Otani is likely to go elsewhere. And Mike Trout is just going to get paid to stink on the Angels. Or the Angels, they're going to pay him to just stick around. Now, that's a disaster if I've ever seen one. These big leaguers are getting 10, 13, 14 year, $300, $400 million contracts. They can't show up to work? Like, I'm going to assume that at some point they're going to go, why are we signing these guys for 10 and 15 years and they're broken? $426 million. And Mike Trout has a back injury that needs maintenance. What is he going to end up like, Don Mattingly? David Wright? Maybe not to that extreme, but damn. Still professional sports. It's still no guarantee that any of these guys are going to go out there and last the duration of their contracts, that injuries won't wipe them out. And sure, teams can go ahead and get insurance, but that doesn't do anything ultimately for your books. Doesn't do anything for you actually building the team. And so here in an excellent example, we have somebody like Lamar Jackson in the NFL. To a certain degree up until Deshaun Watson, ain't nobody running around with fully guaranteed deals. Deshaun Watson gets $230 million guaranteed, and Lamar Jackson says, wait a minute, I've won an MVP. When I play football games, we have won. We've gone to the playoffs. I'm only 25 years old. Y'all selected me at the back end of the first round of the draft. I've been underpaid. It's time for me to get my cash. You look at Aaron Rodgers, he's making $50 million per. You look at Kyler Murray and Deshaun, these guys are making about $46 per year. You don't think that Lamar Jackson is running around saying, well, I need to slot somewhere between 46 and 50 mil, and I need all that money to be guaranteed. And so as of right now, Lamar Jackson has made it perfectly clear to the public, when the season starts, I'm not negotiating. He doesn't have a traditional agent. It's him, his mom, and their lawyer, whoever else is looking at the contract. He's not a part of a big agency. And so it would tend to make sense. When the season gets going, they're not going to have contract talks. They're going to stop. And you would think that this is risky. At this point of his season, right now, they can go ahead and tag him for next year. He's playing on the fifth year of his deal right now, $23 million. That 23 doesn't fall into the upper echelon of QBs. It doesn't. They can tag him next year, probably be $30-plus million. They can tag him again in 2024. I don't know if you want to do that. That number is probably going to be astronomical. And so if you're Lamar Jackson, this is risky. His style of play, how he runs around, man, money's money. I don't think Lamar Jackson is going to go broke on his $23 million just for this season. But there is a big difference between $23 million in total and being able to run around and say, hey, I have $200+ million coming my way that's guaranteed, even if I get hurt. And so it's a matter of how comfortable you are. You know, is Lamar saying, oh, man, if I get hurt, I'm good with life with this $23 million coming my way? Or does Lamar feel comfortable enough knowing that, hey, if I get hurt, this might be the last cash that I get? It's a dangerous proposition. Personally, I would just try to get this deal done. Personally, I would look over the next month and see if I can get slotted for my $47 million, my $48. Get signed up for about 4 years, 5 years, and keep it moving. I wouldn't play this game, not with his style of play. I think it's too dangerous for Lamar Jackson. And we know this. The Ravens want him. I think they'll have success with him. I just think it's way too dangerous to not get a contract done. Every season, every game that Lamar doesn't get that long-term deal, it's too dangerous. In Major League Baseball, we just see, or we are seeing right now what Aaron Judge is doing. Someone who is quote-unquote injury-prone due to his size, he's out there. He's the American League MVP. He's going to walk away with his cash, whether it comes from the Yankees or somebody else. As much as Aaron Judge might be injury-prone, Aaron Judge is not playing a contact sport. Yeah, baseball is a grind. Aaron Judge isn't running anybody over. At 6'7", ain't nobody trying to tackle him. I think Lamar Jackson is playing a dangerous game. And unless the Baltimore Ravens are just playing a dangerous game by completely insulting him with their contractual offers, if I'm Lamar Jackson, man, I'm taking the money. I don't think him going into the season on the final year of his deal, I don't think it's worth the risk. I think it's better off for him to sign. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to open up the phone lines. It's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Lamar Jackson says, if we don't get a deal done before the start of the regular season, then there will be no deal until next offseason. Do you think this is too risky for Lamar Jackson? Should he get this wrapped up and signed? Or should he just play out this season and try to take him to the cleaners next year. I think it's a bad idea. Get the contract done if you can. 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, I also want to share with you a comment made by Jesse Armstead. I asked him last hour in our interview, why doesn't Lamar Jackson get the respect that you feel he deserves? I want to share with you what Jesse said. I want to get to your calls. We got so much to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
5 minute break.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
I certainly appreciate your show. I really think you do the best job on the radio talk shows.
First of all, I want to say, man, I enjoy your show because it's a different voice, and it's I've contemplated calling before.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We had a great conversation with New York Giants legend Jesse Armstead. He joined us last hour, and amongst the things that we talked about, when he played, he wasn't the largest linebacker. He was a fast linebacker. He went sideline to sideline. He wasn't the Incredible Hulk, but he was versatile. He was able to step back and, you know, put a hip on a tight end, even now every now and then a wide receiver. He did it all in the middle of the field for the New York Giants, Pro Bowls and all pros. And so I asked him about the many changes in the game, especially the fact right now that the NFL just highly favors offense. That's what people want to show up and see. You know, we really don't see those 10-7 games anymore. It's all about the points. And so having said that, I asked him about quarterbacks and how difficult it can be to play against a certain guys. A couple of days ago, we spoke with cornerback Nolan Carroll, who used to play for the Miami Dolphins, and he said when he looks at quarterbacks, it's still Aaron Rodgers, someone who's dangerous. Well, asking Jesse Armstead his opinions from the linebacker's perspective, Jesse told me it's a dual threat. Someone who does work with his legs as well as his arm, and he pretty much pinpointed someone like Lamar Jackson, someone like a Josh Allen. Josh is more of a I will bowl you over or try to tackle me. And Lamar Jackson is just a matter of catch me if you can. And so I asked Jesse, you know, why doesn't Lamar get the respect that he probably deserves as an all-around player? And this is what Jesse had to tell me in response. Listen.
Well, you know, you always have your 50-50, you know. You also have people like you and the ones who don't. But you look at a quarterback like him, anytime you see somebody that can run, the next nature is he cannot throw. Or somebody can throw, he can't run, you know? And so those are always going to be the combination when you're dealing with people, fans, media. And you just got to pick which one that you would want to take your team to the championship, you know? It's a good debate, you know? I would love have you love to have either one of them, you know? But, you know, give Lamar his credit and Josh Allen, yeah, give him his credit.
All right. Shout outs to Jesse Armstead. Used to crack those skulls on the football field. Miami Hurricanes, New York Giants, ended at the time with Washington. And right now he's a special assistant to the general manager with the Giants. If you missed that interview with Jesse Armstead, you can always hit rewind on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. Phone lines are open, 855-212-4CBS. Right before we went to break, I talked about Lamar Jackson, and he's made it clear, if we don't get a deal done in this offseason, before the regular season starts September 11th, I ain't signing no deal. I'm going to go through this regular season, I'm going to go through this year, and try to figure things out. And then if they don't come to a deal in the offseason next year, then they're just going to franchise tag him. I find that to be risky for him. I hope they can get something done. Put him in that $46 to $50 million range. Give him a bunch of guaranteed money. Keep it moving. Paul is calling from Boston. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good evening, JR. How are you, sir?
Very well, Paul. Go ahead.
I have a quick question before we have our first on-air Friday night fight. When he signed in 2018, it was only $9 million. And when compared to what he gave them, that was a freebie. So in some sense, they do owe him. However, when he met with the GM, Eric DaCosta, there wasn't much conversation about keeping him there. I have a key point I want to make, but, GR, is there anything he came out of the meeting with Eric DaCosta that you know about that I don't or we don't know about?
Is there what?
Was there something in that meeting that came out of it they with DaCosta that they weren't possibly going to keep him? Because I have a really key point I want to ask you about. But
no, nothing that I know. Go ahead.
When you look at what Lamar did and the way he has an MVP-ish type season, point one, the running style is very dangerous. Look at what happened to Andrew Luck. So you have to front-load his contract and get that money up front because it's a dangerous game the way he plays it. However, this is the real, what you call the condition of premise or current status of his numbers. In comparison to his MVP type season.
Well, hold on. I would actually like it if you answered my question kind of first and then maybe supported it. Do you think it is too risky for him to play this season out without signing a new contract?
Absolutely not. And this is why. The last year, for example, his runs per yard average and completion average was about half of when he was MVP-ish, and his interceptions were double. Now, in fairness to him, it's not that he isn't as good. It's that other teams figured out how to play his defense and plug that hole in the middle when he runs. So my answer is in this question. If he plays this year out and performs with that type of accelerated numbers as what you call a top-tier quarterback, then it will play to his advantage because he'll have more leverage and bargaining power to get the money that I and most people think he deserves. But as an owner and what you call an investment opportunity, the current numbers just don't support that big money. The big money he supported from 3 years ago.
It's also important to note, and thank you, Paul, for calling from Boston. He didn't have the same team. He didn't have the same offensive line. A lot of the folks that he would have ran out there with last season, especially with the rushing attack, a lot of the backs, it's like everybody and their mother went down prior to the season starting. And so you would think or hope or expect that this upcoming season, with an investment into the offensive line from the draft, with guys that they signed from a couple of seasons ago, that they can finally start to mesh. He had an excellent offensive line the year that he won an MVP. And so a combination of guys figuring him out or injury, I mean, there's a lot of reasons as to why, you know, his numbers dipped or weren't as good last year. Absolutely. Jarrell is calling from Alaska. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, thanks for taking my call. Hey, real quick on Lamar Jackson, I think he just made some really good points there. His entire backfield was gone last year. They're in the AFC North, and you got Joe Burrow over there swinging the ball. Now, granted, Joe Burrow's still early on in this league, but, you know, Lamar Jackson's been proven. He's there, and the AFC North isn't necessarily the hardest division, but you want to invest in your quarterback. He's going to do well with those weapons that got stocked around him. He keeps the O-line good. You keep the running backs in the game, and you know I think you should pay the guy. Of course, there's going to be any risk with anything in this game. It was just the owners and the coaches; they just got to mitigate it.
Do you believe he's playing it a little too dangerous by not signing before the year starts?
In my opinion, yes, I think he is. But at the same time, I'm not a NFL connoisseur when it comes to contract.
Okay.
I think he's going to get his money one way or the other.
It's really this simple at this point. And thank you, Jarrell. When you have Deshaun Watson getting $230 million guaranteed, that's setting a precedent. You know, everybody can run around and start looking at the numbers and the contracts that are being given out to other individuals and say, well, damn it, I deserve that too. Well, I need that money. Kyler Murray's guarantee doesn't even touch what Deshaun Watson just got. Kyler Murray's guarantee, he's making 46 per as well. But overall, Kyler is only getting $160 million. guaranteed. And so what does Lamar want? I'm sure he wants all of it guaranteed too. Lisa calling from Ohio. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, JR.
What's going on, Lisa?
Hey, I could be totally wrong on this, but if my memory serves me correct, I am right. About 5-6 months ago, Boomer Esiason was on the radio, and he was talking about Francisco Tatis Jr. When he was in the minor leagues, that he signed a contract with the company that once he signed a big league contract, they got 20% of his salary. And Boomer found it to be very odd, being as who his father is. And I remember that. And then when you started talking about it, all this stuff that's gone down with him, I'm thinking, is he estranged from his family? Do you know anything about this? I mean, why, if that
no.
indeed.
So I don't know a damn thing about the first part of what you said. I don't know what Boomer Esiason said. I personally have never heard of a reference of Tatis Jr. having to hand out a portion of his future contract to anyone. As far as I know, Fernando Tatis and his dad don't have any issues. What you just said, these are things that I will look into. I haven't heard of such thing. What I do know is Fernando Tatis Jr. has done and had some dumbass mistakes. That's true. I'm going to come back with more of your calls. I want to share with you something that came out of Deion Sanders' mouth. We got a lot to do.